We're continuing the series, I'm calling it the prodigal son, and I hate that because the story is not about the prodigal son. The story is about God the Father. That's what the story is about. But it's been called the prodigal son story so long, I'll just continue to call it that so we all know what we're talking about. But we looked last week at the Father, and you know, all the hope we have is because of the Father. And what we're going to look at tonight is the older brother. And so, you know, the older brother, I think, gets a bad rap because, you know, obviously we celebrate the father. And we even come to a point in the story where we celebrate the prodigal, right? But the older brother, you know, he's just kind of there. And what I think is, for some reason, and you all tell me if you think I'm right or wrong, because if you're wrong, it's okay. But I think in a lot of ways, people take pride in being the prodigal, right? I mean, if we're going to show a testimony video, do you want to hear the prodigal's testimony or the older brother? Oh, we want to hear the prodigal, right? And we might even brag a little bit. Yeah, I was the prodigal. You know, like, I mean, what are we really saying? I was cool, right? Because being the prodigal is cool. But I think the truth is, most of us don't struggle with all the issues of the prodigal. I think most of us struggle with the issues of the older brother. Amen. And I think looking at the older brother tonight, I want us to look at a couple things. I was trying to think when to tell the story, so I'm going to tell it now and get it out of the way, and it'll make no sense to you until later on in the message. Here's the story. I was reading an article with Donald Trump Jr., okay? Donald's son, Donald Trump Jr. It was an amazing story. And I'm not endorsing Donald Trump, though there are a lot of things I would agree with him on. There are things I wouldn't agree with him on. But this story was amazing. Forbes magazine was interviewing Donald Trump Jr. And of course, you know, he's wildly successful now in his father's company, but also branching out, doing some of his own things. And they were interviewing him. And they said, tell us about your first job. So his first job is when he was 16 years old, and his dad drove him to the dock of his company, okay? And so you can imagine the limo pulling up, Donald Trump getting out. He's got a 16-year-old kid. He walks out to the dock, and he says, find the foreman. So they get the foreman. The foreman comes over to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump says, this is my son. He's going to be working on the dock. And he puts his finger in the foreman's face. He said, if I hear from anybody that you've treated this kid different than anybody else out here on the dock, you will be fired. Trump gets in the limo and drives off. I love that story. That is such a great story. And it made such an impact on his son. You know, Donald Trump Jr. said, or Donald Trump told him, hey, however you're treating everybody out here, you treat this one the exact same way. Whatever expectations you have of everybody out here, you have the same expectations on this kid. And Donald Trump, in the interview, just really talks about what it meant to work for his father. I'll stop the story there. We'll come back to it, and it'll all make more sense later. The Bible says this. The prodigal's come home. The father's killed the fattened calf. He's got the robe, the ring. He's put it on the prodigal. Then the Bible says, meanwhile, the older son, now I'm in Luke chapter 15, verse 25. I'll give you just a second to turn there. Isn't that nice hearing some pages turn? I'm Gutenberg. I love paper. I know some of you got your tablet. Many of you, we get these huge Bibles that we bring in from China. Nah, I don't know where they're from. Probably China. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. And the servant says, and I'm going to put some of my own inflection in here, okay? Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Like, I'm imagining that's the whole tenor of the house, don't you think? You're really excited. Here, the son, he's come back. And, you know, the older brother, where's the Bible say he was? He was in the field. What's he doing in the field? He's working, right? Because guess what? Oh, yes, the prodigal left. But there is still work to be done, and guess who's going to do it? The older brother. And he hears music and dancing. I guess he didn't hear dancing. That's weird. I guess you could hear dancing. My goodness, you again. It's going to be this way all night. And he calls a servant and he says, what's going on? And the servant, I just imagine, the Bible doesn't say it, but I just imagine the servant is just has all this excitement. He goes, your brother. We didn't know if he was dead. We didn't know what was going on with him, but he's back. And your father has killed the fattened calf. He's put a robe on him, a ring on his finger. Isn't this a joyous moment? It's not. The older brother, the Bible says, became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? I just love this. First of all, the older brother doesn't know if there are prostitutes involved. Does he? He couldn't possibly know that. But he's trying to think of the most wicked thing he could think of, right? And then he's squandered all your property with prostitutes. You know, it's almost a persuasive speech that he's trying to convince the father, you've made a mistake here. We have got to teach this kid something. You know, I mean, what we do at our house, I don't know what works at yours. I don't know what works at mine either, but here's the stage we're in. We break up our house into jurisdictions, and each kid has a jurisdiction that they're responsible for, you know. So one will have the kitchen and, I don't know, I call it the dining room, but I call the room that has one step the downstairs. So anyway, go downstairs, Dad. It's just a step. we have jurisdictions, and I've got this one kid. All right, it's the oldest daughter, and I don't know why. Because I don't know why, but she'll just kind of wander through the house. Some of you know Molly, and so this you'll laugh because you know Molly. And she'll just start pointing things out in other people's jurisdictions. And there is always a fight. It's always three against Molly, you know, which doesn't bother her a bit, you know, because she feels like it's three versus three. The three kids versus her, me, and her mother, right? And so I just sat her down and said, Molly, is this your jurisdiction? And at this point, she knows she's in trouble, and you know, she'll get kind of teary-eyed and fighting back tears, and she'll say, I know it's not my jurisdiction, Daddy. And I said, then why are you worried about it? She goes, I just want them to do it right. And it's the older brother, he's trying to persuade the father, you've made a mistake here. I mean, what should be happening is you should be setting up some kind of payment plan for this punk brother of mine to pay back everything that he lost. Do you know what he's done with your property? He's had prostitutes. You know, and he's just trying to make this story as big as he can. Maybe there were prostitutes. Maybe there weren't. It's not the point. It's not about, at this point, it's not about the prostitutes. It's not about the prodigal. It is about the older brother. He does feel like a great wrong has taken place. But it's not that the prodigal was received home. It's that he feels that he has been wronged. Listen to what the Bible says here about this. This is so interesting. I never thought about it like this. He says, his father's pleading with him, and he says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat. And to me, we learn the one thing that we need to learn about the older brother in that sentence right there. And this is why I told you the Donald Trump Jr. story. The older brother had convinced himself that all those years he was working for the father. But it wasn't true. And it's revealed right there. He says, all these years I've been slaving for you, and yet you never even gave me a young goat to celebrate with my friends. And we learned right there, he wasn't slaving for his father. You see, the older brother didn't work for the father. He worked for himself. And so it changed his expectations. And in a, and I, you know, and I'm going to say he was working for a young goat. And I'm just going to use that example because it's what he said. Because he's doing all this work. And somewhere in the back of his mind, let me tell you, this young goat thing, that didn't just pop into his head. It had been there. It had been something he had been thinking about. You ever just have a moment where you just get smacked in the face with perspective? You know, I remember telling somebody, I was so upset, just seemed like nothing was working out. And so I don't know what you do when things don't work out for you. I throw some of the greatest pity parties that have ever been thrown, right? And I was talking to somebody, are you saying amen for me or for you? Well, and I remember just saying to somebody, yeah, man, my car's not even running. And they're like, you have a car? Yeah, I mean, it's not running. I mean, I don't even know how I'm going to get to work. You have a job? Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess I'm going to be walking. They're like, you have legs? You know, this perspective, right? And so there's the older brother, and all these years he's been slaving for himself. He's just wanted a young goat. And this is what's so incredible, because I'm going to tell you, in all three of these messages, it always comes back to the father every time. And so listen to what happens here. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate. And we had to be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So you can imagine the absurdity that the father is hearing, right? Because there are two things happening here. What does the father know? Everything I have is yours. And that thought didn't pop into the father's head. That's how he's always felt about it. You are my sons. And everything that I have is yours. And everything we're working for, it's all going to be yours, right? I mean, that's the father's perspective. That's exactly what he is thinking. But he's met with incredible disappointment. Because the older brother's perspective is that he was just working for a young goat. And he was disappointed that he'd never even received that. And so you imagine the father looking at him, right? And saying, a young goat. Everything I have is yours. What are you talking about? See, the older brother, because I think what we say a lot of times about the older brother and what we attach to the older brother is some form of legalism, right? Which all of us have to be very careful, because the Bible says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. That was such a great place for an amen. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Thank you. And when you get into legalism, you don't value freedom at all. And yet, freedom is a gift that God gives us. And so with the older brother, it's not so much And this is why I want to be careful to attach a legalism to the older brother, because it's not so much that the older brother just had these list of rules and his brother broke all the rules. It wasn't about that. Listen, for the older brother, this had nothing to do with the prodigal. The prodigal simply, now everybody listen to this, the prodigal simply revealed, that situation revealed the heart of the older brother, a heart that was already present, a heart that was already there. And the older brother could kind of stomach what he would see as an injustice until the prodigal came home and was showered with grace and mercy. And that's when the older brother couldn't stomach it anymore. But it was a heart problem before the prodigal ever left home. It was a problem in his perspective. It was a problem of his understanding. Let me tell you this. It was a problem in his relationship with his father. You know, that's why I always plead with you all to spend time in God's word. And I plead with you to spend time in prayer. Because I'm telling you, they'll be the two most important things in the relationship that you have with the Father. The reason, my observation, after 20 years, the reason I think people struggle in those things, okay? And I don't mean this to be, this is the only reason, but this is one of the reasons why people struggle in those things. Because there are a lot of us here tonight, and we have the heart of the older brother. Maybe we haven't spoken the words of the older brother. And maybe we haven't just looked at God and said, you know what, where's mine? Maybe we haven't done that. But maybe we've struggled to celebrate what God has done in other people's lives. And maybe our struggle in celebrating what God's done in other people's lives. Now listen, the truth is, our inability to celebrate has nothing to do with the other person. But it's our relationship that is broken. You see, because if I spend too much time in prayer, I begin to say things I'm not comfortable saying. And if I spend too much time with the Father, at some point I just feel like it's going to become obvious to Him, you know, like He wouldn't know otherwise, of some of the disappointment that I have with Him. You see, I can paint on a smile when things don't go my way. And I can look you in the eyes and say, well, you know, God's in control and we're going to trust Him. But that's not always what's really in my heart. But I'm old enough, I know what to say, right? But that disappointment is there. And you know what God wants me to do more than anything? Oh, He wants me to bring that disappointment to Him. I've told so many people over the years that you can tell God that you're disappointed in Him and it doesn't shake His foundation at all. It doesn't rock His world. He's not in heaven saying, are you kidding me? I had no idea. What do you want? But you know what you have when you can say that to God? Authenticity. You know what authenticity turns into every time? Intimacy. And I begin to express to God, you know, these disappointments I have. And here's the thing, and I'm even feeling it right now the way you're looking at me. That some of you, you're just offended, right? Just that I'm even saying that. How could you tell God you're disappointed in Him? He's God. That's probably your biggest problem, is that you haven't. And you just pretend to be happy all the time, but your relationship with Him is hindered. Not severed, it's hindered. Because you won't take those things to Him. And I promise you, I've never had a time when I went to God and said, God, I'm disappointed. I thought things were going to work out like this, and they didn't. And God said, well, since you've said it, I'll work it out that way. If it was best for me from the beginning, he'd have worked it out that way to begin with. Amen. Right? So I'm not offering a solution of here's how to get what you want. But it's the relationship. The brother was disappointed because he didn't get a young goat. I don't know what the father had. I imagine with servants and all those things, the father had a lot, right? Jesus is telling the story, so Jesus certainly understood what his father had. Amen? Amen. And so Jesus is saying, and the father looks at him and says, a young goat? Are you kidding me? That's it? That's all you want is a young goat? I've got so much more for you than that. Everything I have is yours. But the problem, it wasn't in possession. It was in relationship. That was the problem. And again, we call this the prodigal son story, but the brother's issues had nothing to do with his prodigal brother. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? It had nothing to do with it. Yeah, the situation revealed his heart, but it wasn't the cause of his heart. There'd been a problem for a long time. And the older brother made the claim that he was working for the father, but the truth was, all those years, he'd been working for himself. I wonder how many of us here tonight would say we're working for the father, but in truth, we're working for ourselves. And let me give you an example, because I really want you to understand this, because I think it's probably more of us than it's not. That somehow, so we're going to live a good moral life. We're going to do the right things. We're going to spend time in God's word. We're going to pray because those are all things that we need to do. And what we really believe is, and if we do all those things, then we get all this whatever. I'm telling you, I know in my head that is not how God works. But in my heart, that's how I work it a lot. I'm going to do these good things, and it'll be good over here. But God's system isn't like that. And if you want an example that God's system isn't like that, read Luke 15. Read about the prodigal who does the opposite of the good things, right? He does the opposite of it. You know what? I'm sick of the father's house. I'm sick of the father's stuff. Just give me what's mine. I'm out of here. I know what's best. I'm going to go do that. And he walks away and he comes back and he gets showered with grace and mercy. Showered with grace and mercy. And the older brother can't stand it. Because in the older brother's economy, if you do something like that, then you're going to have to pay. And you know what God says? Jesus already paid it all. And that's a nice thing to say in church. But it's hard for a lot of us to really believe that or to stomach it, that God would be that way. But it's about grace and mercy. I'm going to tell you this story and we'll close. I was at the hospital and I went to see a gentleman that I knew, you know, was not a Christian. He was an older gentleman. And so, you know, I go to the room and I talk to him. I share the gospel with him. And I ask, you know, what I've asked so many people over the years, you know, as far as a salvific understanding. As I, you know, I said, sir, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? He said, yes, I do. I said, do you believe that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, and that he rose again 3 days later? And he said, yes, I do. I said, sir, do you believe that he could come into your life and forgive you of all your sin? And he said, I do. So I'm like, you know, thinking, let's wrap this deal up, right? I said, sir, would you like to invite Christ to come into your life right now, because he'll do it? And he said, no, I would not. So I get out my pamphlet. What do you do after that? And I said, how come? What's keeping you from doing that? He said, you don't need to ask Jesus in your heart when you're about to die in the hospital. It's too late. But wait, because some of you, you're looking at me right now like, oh, that's so wrong. But doesn't that make sense? Gosh, that makes more sense than anything I've ever heard. Yeah, don't call on me in your final hour. Lived your life the way you wanted. Oh, but now you're here, you're sick, you're all. Oh, because if I'm God, yep, too late.
Yep, you're not. Thank God.
This is how he felt. I mean, but listen, that's not crazy talk. What he said makes sense. You don't do that. Cry out your last hour. Give me a break. And so I told him this story. And this will be such a rough paraphrase, you may not even recognize it. I said, I want to tell you a story. I said, Jesus actually told the story. It's about this guy who owned a business. And early that morning, he needed some workers. And so he offered $100 for anybody who would work for the day. Man, here comes a couple of guys, said, oh, $100, I'll work all day, yeah. Well, around lunchtime, he's still needing help. So he goes back out the street and offers $100 for anybody who will work the rest of the day. He gets a couple more guys. Well, they're about an hour from quitting time. Doesn't look like they're going to be able to wrap it up. So he goes back out in the street and says, I'll give anybody $100. It'll help out. And let me tell you, there were some unhappy workers at that point. Obviously, there wasn't a union set up yet or anything like that. And Jesus tells that story, and the workers are all upset about it. Well, I've been here since 8 o'clock this morning, and all I'm getting is $100. But what, they were happy about that $100 in the morning, weren't they? And at lunchtime, it probably bothered them a little bit that a couple more people came, got out of 4 hours of work, still going to get $100. But my gosh, an hour before quitting time, they're getting $100? Who's this guy think he is? He's the boss. It's his business. He can do what he wants. And I thought I did such a wonderful job of telling that story, modernize it just right off the cuff. They don't teach that at seminary. You just have to be gifted. Thank you. That was so unexpected. And so, you know, he's not interested. And I told him, I said, sir, you know why Jesus tells that story? Because he'd rather you cry out in your last hour than to never have cried out at all. You know why? Because he desires you. He loves you. And he tells that story because you know what? He doesn't really care what anybody else thinks about if you're on your deathbed and you cry out to him. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. You know why? Because he made you. But you belong to him. He loves you, right? And I'm telling you, it stunk leaving the hospital. And the last thing I told the guy, I said, well, sir, I will tell you this. You don't need no preacher around to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And you don't need to be at the altar at church. You don't need, you know, you don't have to have your life together. My goodness, who gets their life together without Jesus? Nobody. And I said, but if anything happens in your heart, and you know you want Jesus there, I said, cry out to him. And I left. I thought about going in 3 more times and, sir, heart, we good? But his sister called me 2 days later and said that man prayed to receive Jesus in the hospital. And I'm telling you that in so many ways, that man was the prodigal. And he came home. And there were people happy about it, right? But nobody happier than the Father. And we don't get any kind of resolution on the older brother. We just don't. I mean, wouldn't it be a great story if the older brother said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm just a jerk. I'm sorry. We don't get that. We don't know what happened. But the most important thing we know, and that was this. As much as the father loved the prodigal, He loved the older brother. And they weren't different to him. Because let's face it, you know what the root problem of the prodigal is? And this will be easy for the prodigal. You know what the problem of the prodigal is? His root problem, selfishness. Give me what's mine. I'm out of here. It's selfishness. But do you know what the problem of the older brother was? Selfishness. Because it wasn't even about he shouldn't get that. It's what he should have got. But I'm going to tell you the great news of Luke 15 is the father loved both the sons and would shower both of them with grace and mercy. I want you to remember this tonight. The older brother, so disappointed he didn't get a young goat. And the father says, a young goat? I will always be with you. And everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. And so some of us maybe struggle tonight with some older brother tendencies. The best thing I can tell you tonight is this. The problem is in the relationship. That's the problem. Whether the root of it is selfishness, whatever it is, the problem is in the relationship. It's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's about the relationship. That's what this is about. It's not that a prodigal came home to a house. It's that he came home to a father, right? The older brother's disappointment wasn't over a young goat. It was over what his father hadn't given him. It's relationship. I'm going to ask you to bow your head tonight. Just close your eyes. I don't want anybody looking around. I wonder how many of you would say tonight, maybe like that guy in the hospital, you know you need Christ in your life, but for whatever reason, you've never asked him to come into your life. Just lift your hand real quick and put it back down. Just saying, you know, I've never done that. Okay? Anybody else? Okay? For those of you who raised your hand, I would plead with you tonight that the Father loves you and he wishes to pour on you his grace and his mercy. And I pray that you would invite him to come into your life tonight. I pray that you would do that. You don't have to come to this altar. You don't have to meet with a pastor. You can do that right where you're sitting. Is to say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you died on the cross and rose again 3 days later. And I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I pray that you pray that prayer. And I wonder how many of you tonight would say, you know what? My problem, I know I'm saved, but my problem is in this relationship. And I haven't been in the Word. I haven't prayed the way I need to. I've got some disappointment. Maybe tonight you're angry at God. Maybe over how some things have turned out. If that's you, would you just lift your hand and put it right back down? Okay. Okay. Hands all over the place. Everybody look at me. So I want you to know, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, I understand that disappointment. And I understand having that anger. Where you go through something and the inescapable thing of what you have gone through is that God, he could have done something different. And you can flower it up however you want, but you know, there comes this bottom line that God just didn't do it. And I don't know why. And tonight, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar, but I'm not even necessarily asking you to come and to say, God, why? Because the why is not the issue. The relationship is the issue. That's the thing. I read somewhere or heard somebody say that when you can't see God's hand, you have to trust his heart. And so in the midst of my disappointment with God, or my anger with God, or my confusion over why things aren't working out the way I've wanted them to work out, you know what? I got one option left. And that is to do what I was doing before and just to trust Him. It's all I can do. And sometimes that's my prayer. God, I'm going to trust You because there's nobody else I can trust. And I've said sometimes, God, and it's hard for me to trust You because I feel like You've let me down before. But You keep going back. And you keep trusting. I think You keep asking, right? And God will reveal to us what He chooses to reveal. But after this week, I now have this new picture in my head that my disappointments and my anger, and I'm not saying they're not relevant. Please don't hear that. But I'm saying I can't help but to see Him now as this young goat. And God is saying, oh, you're disappointed right now because you haven't yet seen what I'm going to do. You see, I could show you a glimpse of what's going to happen down the road, whenever that is. And if I showed it to you, you'd say, oh. But I'm not going to show it to you because I want you to trust Me. I love you. I know you're disappointed. I know you're angry. But trust Me. Everything I have is Yours. Let's stand together. Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, for who You are. I pray for a peace tonight that surpasses understanding. I pray that as we gather at this altar tonight, that we feel Your arms of love and grace and mercy around us. We love You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. This altar is open. Hey, if you prayed to receive Christ tonight, I'd just ask you to come and let me know that, because I'd love to talk to you more about that. You can let me know after church. But this is our time. I'm not going to hold the altar long tonight, but I'm just going to ask you, if you need to come, you step out, you come.